everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. The Vanderbilts, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds. Monopolists from a century ago or more. So what's it take to build a monopoly in the 21st century? And are these new monopolies necessarily bad things? I'm Jason Middleton with Techonomics, and this week we talk with the co-authors of a new book titled Modern Monopolies, What It Takes to Dominate the 21st Century Economy. What do Snapchat, Tinder, and Uber have in common besides having sky-high corporate valuations and massive user activity? Their platforms. And virtually all of the most successful companies in the world today are as well. The co-authors of Modern Monopolies are also C-level executives at Applico, one of the world's largest app development companies. Here's our chat with Alex Moazed and Nicholas Johnson. What was the origin story for this? I mean, was this book or this co-authorship between the two of you, was that a purpose of like finding a market opportunity, or are you just like bird-dogging something that you saw coming?
There's a lot of conversation these days about network effects. A lot of companies will try and tout the fact that they are a, quote, network effect business. And what we have found through trial and error and years of building these companies in the trenches is that the platform business model is the hands-down best way to truly harness those network effects. And then to actually have a business that is appropriately attributable to all these fun adjectives that everyone likes to use, defensible, highly scalable, winner-take-all kind of dynamics.
Right.
Those attributes are only applicable to this business model, which uses and leverages network effects in the best way possible.
Let me just pause you just for a second, because when I hear network effects, immediately I think about multiplier effect. Is that analogous, or am I just way off base?
Yeah, that's definitely analogous in terms of the way it works. In terms of network effects, is that value doesn't grow linearly. It grows sort of exponentially as the network expands. So the value you have with 10 users doesn't grow linearly. When you expand to 100 users, that can actually be, you know, it's not 10x, it can be 50x. And on from there. And that's just an example. But when it comes down to the bottom line, as these networks grow, they make exponentially more money. You can look at Facebook's trajectory in terms of revenue over the years. It started out very small, and as its network got bigger and bigger, it started to grow exponentially. And if you look at it, the sort of the bottom line, when investors value platforms, they do value them also at a higher revenue multiple, typically about 2 to 4x, what we call linear non-platform companies.
Right. And the point of differentiation there, the kind of minute detail, which actually is extremely important, is that you could say that a company like Netflix has network effects. It does, right? The more people that watch videos, the better their recommendation algorithms get, the more they know about what next show they should create. But they're not a platform business. And the reason why a platform business is able to properly and effectively capture those network effects and use them to the best possible way is because the supply chain is also a network, right? These companies aren't linear. They don't own that supply chain. They don't create all their own content. YouTube has a network of producers that are third-party individuals creating videos and putting them into the platform. And so now what happens is when you have demand-side network effects, those network effects help the platform, but then it also now motivates your supply, motivates your producers to create more content, to get more involved, and then now it has these kind of cross-transferable network effects from the consumer side to the producer side, and that's how you get these, you know, defensible barriers. That's how you get these winner-take-all dynamics. But when you only have network effects on one side of the business, like on the demand side, which is what some of these kind of tech-first linear businesses have, that is the big point of differentiation between the platform business model and the strength of it and the success of these kinds of businesses in the 21st century versus linear businesses.
Okay, Nicholas, I'm glad you mentioned YouTube right there, because I kind of wanted to segue into this. I'm wondering how the principles in Modern Monopolies applies to the producers you're talking about, right? The value that is it within the content creator and YouTube versus Amazon, because Amazon is making a major push to pull YouTube creators towards its platform, if you will. And are you seeing that kind of pull?
So what I would say is, yeah, I mean, the challenge for Amazon is right now on in terms of its video subscription service, it isn't really a platform. They license all their content. It's a lot of a business like Netflix. If they were to start pulling away content creators from YouTube and doing it in more of a networked fashion as opposed to more of a sort of licensed and created itself fashion, then you would start to see a lot more scalable dynamics come into play. For Amazon, its margins would improve in that side of the business. Right now, I believe its margins are fairly poor in terms of the content business. It's more of a value add. You would see it become much more of a modern monopoly in the sort of content space the way it has been in the retail space after it opened up the Amazon marketplace there.
Okay, let's pivot back a little bit to the social media. You guys talked about Facebook a little bit earlier. How long can social media remain relevant in its present form? Is it the dynamic? Is it the straw that stirs the drink when it comes to business models moving forward?
I'll take a stab at this. We may have all seen that Snapchat raised $1.8 billion. We would say that Snapchat isn't a social network, so to speak, right, where Facebook has a double opt-in dynamic where you friend someone and then they need to add you back. Snapchat started with a communication, a messaging platform. Facebook started with a social network. But what we start to see, as your analogy points out, is that with a number of these content platforms, Facebook has a content platform in the sense that businesses and other influencers can create pages and have millions of people follow them and engage with their content. Snapchat has a content platform with their stories, and you can post something and many, many people can consume it. Instagram has a content platform in a similar fashion where you can have millions of followers consuming the same piece of content. In the social network and communication messaging types of platforms, those are what we would call exchange platforms, where those transactions are really one-to-one. Or one to a few. It's a transaction between a finite number of individuals. And we've seen a number of the big content platforms today, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, all start on the exchange side and then move and add on a content platform which has a one-to-many dynamic. And those are actually two very different businesses. You can't start both of them at the same time. It's like starting two businesses of anything at the same time. It just won't work. You need to start somewhere, get a certain amount of success, get a certain amount of traction, and then you can try and add another platform on top of the existing business. And we see this a lot with not just content-oriented platforms, but you see it with Amazon, you see it with Google, you see it with Apple, you see this all over the place where they're starting to create these platform conglomerates, where if you really look at all the different business units, they're actually all different types of platforms. So in the content space, you could certainly say that a lot of them start between a more finite number or type of transaction model. They build some traction. They really kind of nurture those very localized networks between you and your friends. And then they make the jump into the more one-to-many and content platform structures.
Okay, so as a commercial enterprise, though, don't I have to pivot in lockstep with the platforms that I'm dealing with? Because you mentioned like a growth or maturity for, say, Facebook or another social network. You can see that kind of coming. So are you saying from ground up you have to have this built into your model?
There's a lot of different types of platforms. Social networks are one, content platforms are one, but you see really this growth across all different types of platforms as sort of becoming modern monopolies and starting to dominate the economy. And that's not just your Facebooks, but also your Alibabas, your Amazons, but it's really you see this broad growth in platforms as modern monopolies really starting to create new markets.
That was Alex Moazed and Nicholas Johnson. Those two are the co-authors of Modern Monopolies, What It Takes to Dominate the 21st Century Economy. It seems platforms lead to monopolies, and they don't want us to worry too much about that. I'll just leave that right there. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.